Donna, would you pray for me? Amen. Amen. Looking good for y'all. I'm starting at 10 till 11. We'll all be out here real early today, so. Good, great. Amen. The Lord just had me over the, actually the last couple of weeks, every time I have my prayer time with Him, he leads me to the book of Hebrews. And just some things He's been speaking to me out of Hebrews, and it's really good. So we'll be in Hebrews 12 today. Some really good scripture to encourage us. Flowing right into from Hebrews 11, of course, we know is a whole chapter is about faith, right? And it kind of fits with what we're doing in the book of Acts, because as we want to, as a church and as individuals, really learn to live that, you know, a normal Christian life, as Bishop would say, then probably the thing that hinders us more than anything of walking in faith would be the very opposite of faith, which would be our unbelief, right? That's the thing that we struggle with. So he starts off in chapter 12, verse 1. Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, talking about those who have gone before us, all these people. And I really like looking back. You know, if you look back in all the people he talked about in Hebrews 11, Abraham, you know, it took Abraham a long time to get it. You know, Sarah even laughed at God, and, you know, he used her. Gideon, you know, oh my goodness. You're talking about a man who was fearful and struggled with faith. But they're all written in this hall of fame of faith, people who eventually, at the end, started getting it, you know. And that's the way the Lord deals with us, you know, knowing that we don't get it. And when He started showing me, and He just really spoke this word to me, Craig, I just really want to begin to deal with some unbelief in you, you know. And I thought, after days of dealing with it, I thought, man, this is really bad. And then the Holy Spirit said, actually, it's worse than you think, you know. Well, that's always a good word from the Lord. But just thinking about our lives and what we deal with every on a day-to-day basis, how much unbelief we entertain in all situations. You know, any situation that brings fear. I remember in a dream one time, the Lord told me, spoke to me in the dream, that fear is rooted in unbelief. And all the manifestations of fear, which is worry and anxiety and stress and all those things, are all rooted in unbelief. As God begins to deal with our unbelief, then the fear begins to change. See, I can't deal with fear and worry and all that unless I deal with my unbelief. As Deuteronomy 1:32 says, which is one of my life verses, in this thing you have not believed the Lord your God. So it's usually when I'm struggling with a situation or stressing in a situation, it's real simple. Because in that, I'm really not believing God. I'm not believing His love for me. I'm not believing that He's there and He's working all things after the course. It's something, right, that God has to deal with. So this is what this chapter is talking about when it starts off. Therefore, we have this great cloud of witnesses surrounding us. And those who have gone before us, you know, they're just not in heaven taking harp lessons, right? They're actively involved in the kingdom of God. They're the kingdom triumphant. They're the church triumphant. We're the church militant. And it says they surround us. They're praying for us, right? They're cheering us on, praying for us. I remember one time when I had served communion in here one day long years ago, before we started doing it like we did, and I was in here by myself, and I wasn't going to go. I thought, well, I'm not going to do the liturgy and read all that. I'm by myself, you know, that's just goofy. And but then it's like the Lord opened my eyes. I could see, you know, and it was full. You know, it was the church triumphant in heaven. You know, entering in, surrounding us with all that we do. Anyway, that's for another day. It says, let us lay aside every encumbrance and the sin. It doesn't say sins, it says the sin. The sin, that word actually in the Greek means the popular sin, which so easily entangles us. So if you can imagine one vine with all little vines in it that we continually get our feet tangled in, that vine is called unbelief. And it's the sin, the popular sin. It so easily entangles us, doesn't it? And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Okay? I can't run with endurance if my feet are tangled, right? Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author, or that word is actually the origin. The origin and perfecter, the one who matures my faith. That's so cool. I was reading something the other day, and a guy was saying, he said, you know, my focus used to be on faith so much that it would stress me out. I would just be so focused on faith, you know, that it would just stress me out. And that's kind of how, you know, the Word of Faith movement was kind of your focus is faith, is on faith, right? And whether you have faith or if I pray for Ron and he doesn't get healed, it's not my faith, it's his faith, you know. So somewhere the faith is wrong. Then he said, the Lord just corrected me, and he said, you know, faith doesn't heal, I heal. So faith doesn't heal you, Jesus heals you, right? And so he is the origin of faith. He is the very origin of your faith. He is the one who perfects and matures your faith in you. Because what happens really is it's his faith. Galatians 2:20 actually says, I live by his faith. So the faith of Jesus lives in you, and your faith becomes in union with his faith. And he is the origin of your faith, and he is the perfecter of that. I don't know, but that encourages me. Because it's not something I've got to muster up and do and have enough faith. He's the origin and perfecter. And all of his faith lives in me. And what the Lord is doing in untangling my unbelief is bringing my faith into union with his faith. Okay? Just like when the apostles, when they were walking, man, they had so much confidence and faith in Jesus and the resurrected Christ who now live within them. And they would say, it is on the basis of faith in him that you're healed. Okay? That's where the Lord's bringing us to. And then as we go on in this book, you'll see in this chapter how God begins to perfect faith in me. What he does in my daily life when I don't even realize it, but what he's doing is he's perfecting faith. He's perfecting belief, faith, right? While he's getting rid of my unbelief. And I love this. Who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of God. One of the ways of enduring a cross or enduring something, endurance is such a cool thing, is that you have to look at the joy set before you and not what you're actually going through. You follow me? Because the end result is going to be joy. And we think that we just narrow this down to when it talks about Jesus enduring the cross, we think it this cross or the cross that he went to. But you know, actually, Jesus endured the cross his whole life. We just pick up the last part when he was about 30 years old or whatever. We just pick that up. But his whole life, he endured the cross. Right? He said no to the power of sin. He never sinned. You don't think he was tempted his whole life? Of course he was. So he endured it, but he was always looking at the joy set before him and saying no. He learned obedience from the things that he suffered. That means his whole life, right? So the joy set before him, he endured. Okay? And this scripture in Hebrews talks a lot about endurance because these guys were, you're talking about they were waffling and wavering. You know, many of them were thinking about going back into Judaism and leaving Christianity because it had become hard. And so he's given them this word about enduring. And at the end of your endurance, there's going to be joy. And for the joy set before you. So that's always a real encouragement to me. This author and perfecter of my faith is always having me look to the joy that's laid ahead of me. Really? That's hope, right? Amen. It's awesome. For consider him who has endured such hostility by sinners against himself, so that you may not grow weary and lose heart. And that happens a lot, right? In our walk with Him, we just grow weary. And we begin to lose heart. We begin to lose sight. For you have not resisted to the point of shedding blood in your striving against sin. But actually, again, in the Greek, that says the sin. So we haven't resisted to the point of shedding blood. You know, He's like, you're still alive. You're not dead. You know, come on. In your fight against this unbelief. Okay? That's what we're fighting against. And you've forgotten the exhortation which is addressed to you as sons. My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor faint when you're reproved by Him. For those whom the Lord loves, He disciplines, and He scourges every son whom He receives. And it is for discipline that you endure. I shared this other night, I think, with our Bible study. I never really liked these verses in Hebrews chapter 12 when it started talking about this, you know, about the discipline. You know, do not faint when you're disciplined or regard like the discipline of the Lord. Because in my mind, the discipline was just like when you got a spanking or you know, a beating or something like that when you were little. That was just not good, you know. And also in your thinking, you think God's just going to just make everything in your life just, you know, and just crappy. So that looks like the discipline of the Lord to me. So that was the kind of scripture I just kind of read through and avoid and not really talk about, because I just didn't. It just made me so uncomfortable. I didn't like it. But here's what this word discipline actually means. It means training and education, instruction, and correction. Okay, training, education, instruction, and correction. And God deals with us, it says in 7, as with sons. So the word really is rooted in the word disciple. That God is always training me. He's always teaching me. He's correcting me for my good as a son. Okay? That's what that word discipline means. If you hadn't noticed yet, God uses just life to do that. Right? He picked a really good thing, just life, to teach us and to train us. Right? Just like yesterday, one of my children went in the kitchen to get something, and they opened the door, and this bottle of A1 steak sauce fell, and it broke, and it was full. I mean, it just didn't like break there. It broke and just like scattered, you know? And so, of course, I go in there and have to clean it up. And I really wasn't very happy doing that, you know? I was just fussing and, you know, fussing at them and complaining. Why didn't you watch it? You know? And then the Lord said, Craig, this is training. This is getting unbelief out of you. And it just kind of shocked me. I thought, well, what? You know? It really was. Because at that moment, my unbelief was not allowing me to experience His presence. Right? I was all tangled up, you know? And when I caught that, you know, and then finished doing that, then by the time I was through, I was rejoicing in that, you know? Cleaning up all that A1. Do you see what I'm saying? Now, you really don't recognize things like that as actually God disciplining me, but it is. He deals with me as a son at that moment. All things in life. You know? You just enter in right here, then you can experience my presence. Okay? Anyway, that was just a little side issue. It is for discipline that you endure, and God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline? But if you are without it, of which you have all become partakers of it, then you're illegitimate children and you're not sons. Real powerful word. Furthermore, We had earthly fathers to discipline us, and we respected them. Shall we not much rather be subject to the Father of spirits and live? For they disciplined us for a short time, as seemed best to them, but He trains us, educates us, instructs us for our good, so that we may share His holiness. See the powerful exchange there? You know? In all things, God is always dealing with me as with the Son. You know? Knowing that as a parent, we know as parents, we always want the best for our children, right? We really do want them to have better or more than we have. God deals with us the same way. He wants all of His inheritance to be ours and be real to us. Okay? So He's always working. He's always, at all times, this God who is at work in you to do this. He's always training and teaching and correcting through every situation in life so that I can partake of His holiness. Holiness is His life. Again, that's not something I do, trying to be holy, right? It's His holiness. I get to partake of His holiness. So, to me, in any instruction or teaching or correction worth experiencing His holiness, absolutely, right? That's some of the joy that's set before you. God, what are you doing in my life? Well, I want you to experience my holiness in this area. I want you to experience being holy in everything. So I'm just going to let these situations kind of arrange itself so you'll empty yourself of yours. So now you will have mine. Right? So that's worth it, right? Amen? We share His holiness. All discipline, for the moment, seems not to be joyful. Right? Again, we're not focusing on that. Okay? That ain't joyful, right? It's not joyful. But sorrowful. Yet to those who have been trained by it, afterwards, it yields the fruit of righteousness. It yields the fruit. Again, His life. Righteousness. He's just creating righteousness in me. Fruit of righteousness. You know? So others can partake. I can partake of His righteousness. And He uses this thing, discipline, disciple, training, instruction, correction, everything to get me to a place where the fruit of righteousness can be brought forth in me. Okay? Again, worth it. Right? Righteousness is not something I can just go do. He's a righteous one now lives within me. Right? You know that. I'm not telling you anything you don't know. But I love that. It yields not just the fruit of righteousness, it says the peaceful fruit of righteousness. Peace. Therefore, here's what we got to do. Therefore, here's what He says. This is how we're going to get our feet untangled from unbelief and let God work His faith in us. One of the greatest definitions of faith, I think, found in Romans chapter 4. With Abraham, he believed that what God said, God would perform. Whatever God says, He'll do it. Amen. Therefore, it says, strengthen the hands that are weak. Okay, I was thinking about that. I was praying about that. What does that mean, strengthen the hands that are weak? What does our hands do? What comes to your mind in our hands, in our walk with God? What do? We do it all the time here. Lord, we lift up our hands. See, what happens is, in the midst of this endurance and God disciplining us and taking up the cross is really what that means, our hands fall limp. And one of the Old Testament prophets, I think, is one of those who had three chapters. It says, literally says, your hands have fallen limp. You just kind of become discouraged. So it says, strengthen those things. In other words, lift up your hands. start praising God in the midst of the situations, in the midst when the A1 bottle falls out of the kitchen and breaks and scatters glass and is everywhere. Right? It's in those small things we don't understand. It's in those small things of the training, of God doing that, of correcting, of teaching me, where my hands begin to fall limp. If I begin to complain in that area, then the next thing that happens that day, I'm going to begin to complain. Or the next thing that happens in my life, I'm going to gripe and complain. You see what I'm saying? And before long, in my relationship and my walk with God, my hands are now limp. They're no longer in this posture of praising and thanking the Lord in every situation. Because He deals with us as sons and as daughters. And in Hebrews chapter 12, He says, I'll never leave you or forsake you. Never. And that God, if you read on in the end of chapter 13, He says that it's God who is at work in me. Okay? So what happens is, with the hands falling limp, unbelief begins to tangle me again. Because I'm just not believing God is in that situation. Right? That's what I'm believing. Whether I admit it or not, or I'm not believing God's in this situation, or even though it looks bad, that He's going to work all things together for my good. Okay? So it says, strengthen the hands. Get in that posture in your spirit of thanking the Lord. Because that's a receiving posture as well, right? Praising, thanking the Lord, giving thanks. And then it says, strengthen the hands that are weak and the knees that have become feeble. All right? Knees have to do with prayer. One of the guys, James, or one of them, they called him literally camel knees because he was on his knees praying so much that his knees were calloused. Okay? My prayer life, my personal prayer life, my thanking the Lord. When I get to a place where I'm not thanking the Lord anymore and I'm just getting, you know, life is just beating it down, I'm not going to pray very much, right? Have you ever noticed how that affects your own personal prayer life? Yeah. It says strengthen the knees, you know? Your knees have become feeble, all right? Let's stop entering into God's presence again. Let's get into His presence because He's what we need. Strengthen those knees. Start thanking the Lord. Praise Him. Like Paul said, pray without ceasing. Right? Pray without ceasing. When my hands are lifted up, thanking the Lord, I am praying without ceasing. You follow me? That's a prayer. Lord, thank You. You're sovereign. You're going to work this thing for my good. Lord, I just thank You. Worship You. My knees are now being strengthened again. I'm on my knees in my spirit. Communing with God, fellowshipping, praising. Okay? So my hands are limp, I've fallen, my knees are weak because I've stopped praying in all situations. And then He says, make straight paths for your feet. Make straight paths for your feet. So that the limb which is lame may not be put out of joint, but be healed. Right? Make straight paths for the feet. That I'm walking, this thing that keeps getting me tangled up, what I keep tangled up, you know, getting me off, whatever gets me off the path, make straight paths again. Let's start walking this out again. Right? It's enduring that. Because what happens with most people, you know, Jesus talked about that in the parable of the seeds in the heart, and you know that 3 out of 4 of them, or 75% of them, received the word gladly, right? And only 25% of them actually finished, because when persecutions arose, remember, or desire for other things, and that got them off the path, you know, just knocked them off. And so what can happen to us even in our walk with the Lord, we can get knocked off of our path, right? We just kind of, this is a little bit too hard. I don't like this, so I'm just going to get off on this exit here. You know? If you ever notice that exit that you get off on, right, you can never get back on it and get ahead of where you were. Because that exit you get off on, it goes like this. And you got back on, right? So when we make straight paths for our feet, it's about walking this out. In Hebrews chapter 10, he said, he told them, you have need of endurance. You have, and all of us, we have need of endurance. So we got to get back on the path, make straight paths, and say, God, I'm just going to walk this out. I'm going to thank you in the midst of all this. I'm going to pray without ceasing, and I'm going to walk this out again. Because, see, Lord, I don't want to get to a place to where my limbs get put out of joint. I want it to be healed. Whatever keeps getting me off on this ramp, I need it to be healed. Because I want to go on to the next exit, right? I want to keep doing this over and over again, Lord. Right when I get to this thing that you're trying to deal with, off I go again. And I go in the whole circle, back through it again, get on, walk it, and I'm back off again, you know? That's what endurance is about. You stay the course. You walk it out. Letting endurance have its perfect. Doesn't it say in James, if you let endurance have its work in you, you'll be what? Perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. So strengthen that. And this is a word to these guys who tell them, wherever we are in this, it could not relate to you at all. But if your hands have fallen, and your prayer life has been affected, you're not praying without ceasing, which really means recognizing the Lord in everything, and you've gotten off the path, get back on it. Simple, right? Get back on it. And let God deal with that thing. Let Him teach you. Let Him, whatever, train you. Let Him correct you if He needs to be correcting. Let Him speak to you. Because He just wants to give you and let you encounter and enter in to everything He has for you. Amen? Therefore, strengthen the hands that are weak, the knees that are feeble. Make straight paths for your feet, so that the limb which is lame may not be put out of joint, but rather be healed. And pursue peace with all men and the sanctification with which no one will see the Lord. This whole process I've told you about is the process of sanctification. Setting you apart. Making you holy. Enduring the cross. Right? The discipline of the Lord. That's called sanctification. Without sanctification, without this, I can't see the Lord. Right? So if my goal is to see the Lord, then I have to let Him work this in me. Right? So the end result is experiencing His holiness, bearing peaceful fruit of righteousness, and seeing His face. Experiencing Him greater ways. Right? So Lord, I pray for us now. In Jesus' name. Lord, I forgot, but You kept showing me the number 7 this morning. And Your word was that You're going to bring all things into perfection in our lives. May we embrace all that You're doing in our lives. Lord, anything in our lives that seemed to go wrong, Lord, You're training us. You're correcting. Even in the way we think about things, Lord. Lord, to think as sons and daughters. And oh God, do that work in us, Lord, because we want to really walk in faith. And we want You to deal with and heal all of our unbelief. Lord, the sin, You say, which so easily entangles us. And Lord, we want to run this race with endurance, the race that's set before us. So come now, Lord. Fill us with Your presence. In Jesus' name, amen.